notified me on Monday that his aunt had passed away. I can't recall her name at this moment, but she lives up in Rome, I believe it is. He asked if we would pray for his their family around this time as they get funeral arrangements together and all. So let's remember them, and let's remember our children's home, all of our young people, and our house parents, and all the leaders there. Let's continue to remember them as we're marching onward in our new school year, and so we know how that is. Things are always coming up during the school year you got to deal with. Bobby and Nancy McClendon, David and Glenda Henderson, Harold Dolph, Leonard and Dolores Palmer, James and Shirley Townsend. I believe the Townsends had an anniversary. Was it last Sunday? I'm going to say. I think it was. This past Sunday they had an anniversary, James and Shirley Townsend. So happy anniversary. I told them happy anniversary on that day, but belated happy anniversary from tonight. But so let's remember them. Let's remember the Daleys and Ashworths, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Melissa Slagle, James Tolan Brown, Peyton Cochran, Kevin Brook, and all of our shut-ins that we have on our prayer list. So I'm going to open up the floor at this time. Does someone have a request or a praise or an update? Brother Don?
I want to praise the Lord that I found out we had one saved during our anniversary service at the Car Market Church, had two baptized, and had great service.
Wonderful. Praise the Lord on that. to our visitors, Brother Don and Sister Carla Rich, they're missionaries over to Car Market, Peru. Is it three churches? Two churches. That's enough to plant and operate two churches. And so they're sending church, and this is their home base. And so we're real proud of the work God's been using them to do over there. Praise the Lord for that news, brother. Anybody else? Really?
So, pray that she finds someone to watch the kids. Well, she has to go to Cincinnati to have it done.
Really? And how far is that from their home?
That's not very far.
Because I'm still thinking Alabama, you know.
Yeah.
A half hour.
All right, we'll remember her for sure. Anyone else? Certainly will. Sure will. Brother Jeff?
He's having surgery next month, September 16th.
Are you? Really?
Yes.
September 16th. Okay. Well, we'll be praying for you now and... big deal. Thank you for mentioning that so we can back you up in prayer. Anybody else? Ms. Glenda? Lord on that.
Yes.
Absolutely. Anyone else? Won't leave anybody out. All right. Well, let's just remember a couple things as we make our way through August. Hard to believe we're approaching the end of August. That is incredible. But again, let's remember on the 28th, the last Sunday of this month, Brother Craig Edwards will be with us preaching in the morning and at night. That morning I'll be over at Floyd Road preaching their homecoming. And so let's remember that. And then in September on 9/11 will be our homecoming here. And Brother Snyder was unable to come preach on homecoming. And so we had some issues on dates and different things. So prayed about it, and I asked Brother Alan Young if he would preach our homecoming. He's so, ingrained here and been such a faithful, worker at the children's home, but pastor himself. And so looking forward to having Brother Alan preach our homecoming this year. So remember that. Anything else before we pray? All right. Well, let's just remember our young people downstairs tonight and our teachers as they teach them. And as we do every Wednesday night, you can either come to the altar and pray with us, or you can sit right where you're at and pray. And we just have a silent time of prayer. faithful every Wednesday night to bring some song for us out of the hymn book, and appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 25, for a few moments tonight. Genesis chapter 25. And in just a moment, I want to read from verse number 20. Genesis 25, verse 20, down through verse number 26. Do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we'll begin reading from verse number 20 out of Genesis 25. Lord, we come one more time in Jesus' name tonight. Lord, I pray that, oh Lord, you would just give me a clear head, a calm heart. And Father, I pray that most of all your word would go forth, and that the hearts that are represented here tonight, Lord, would be encouraged, be challenged, and changed even. So, Lord, I ask that you'll just bless the lesson tonight. And we thank you and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Genesis 25. Notice, if you would, in verse number 20. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment, they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them." That's reading tonight, Genesis 25, verse number 20 down through verse number 26. By way of introduction tonight of what we're going to share, let me say that we know that those that study the Bible and have heard much preaching or teaching, we know that the Lord had promised Abraham a son. And we know that it would be through him, which is Isaac, that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. We also know how Abraham and Sarah got ahead of God. And you know the story, how Sarah called for Hagar, the handmaid. And it was through that circumstance and situation that Ishmael was born. And we know that this wasn't the plan of God. It was just a time when Abraham and Sarah, they grew impatient. They were getting up in age. I guess I would grow impatient too, coming up on 100. And God still promised, and there was going to be a child involved. And so we know all of that. And we know that there was Ishmael. And so finally, Isaac, the promised seed, came. And the parents adored him, loved him, and protected him. Here's just a thought, something to think about tonight. When I was thinking about Ishmael and Isaac, and how that Isaac did eventually come, just food for thought here. I wonder if Abraham and Sarah ever wondered, well, what are we going to do now with Ishmael? Isaac is the promised seed. We got ahead of God over here. So now what are we going to do with Ishmael? And so that's my thought, but here's my answer to that. just a spiritual implication here. Isaac can be a picture of the spirit and Ishmael a picture of the flesh. And just because there's an Isaac, it does not get rid of the Ishmael. All of us tonight that know Jesus as our personal Savior, we have the Spirit of God within us. But also we have this flesh within us, on us, around us. And this flesh isn't redeemed, and so it's going to give us trouble time and time again. And so that was just a thought I had today. What in the world are we going to do with Ishmael? Well, he's part of the family. We've got to deal with him. Now, Isaac is grown up, and he's married to Rebekah here in chapter 25. And they eventually have two boys, as we read, Jacob and Esau. And tonight I want to talk about specifically that space of time between Isaac and Rebekah's wedding day to the birth of the boys. That space of time when they got married until the babies came. And so with that said, the title of the lesson tonight is Rebekah's Childbearing Experience. Rebekah's Childbearing Experience. You say, well, Brother Justin, I'm a man tonight. How's that going to benefit me, this message? Well, there's some things in here I believe also have spiritual implication and application in relation to this space of time where Rebekah was barren and Isaac entreated the Lord for her, and finally the kids came. And so I want to mention just a few things tonight, and we'll be through, and hopefully it'll be a blessing and a help to all of us. First of all, I want you to notice in verse number 21, Isaac's interceding. In verse 21, the Bible says, "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived." Now, the word entreated here also means to intercede. I'll go a step further. It means also to earnestly ask or beg someone for something. And so here we have the husband, and he's begging God that his wife would bear a child. He is interceding. He is helping to bear that burden. Let me just say this, and you already know it. That's what we're to do with one another. We're to intercede for one another. When we see that someone's having a rough time or they share a burden with us, we're to stand in the gap and we're to pray for one another and lift one another up. Beg on God's behalf to do something in their life. And so we see that Isaac, he begged God on the behalf of his wife for a child. Now, look again in verse number 21. I say that he begged God on the behalf of his wife because that's what it says. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. For his wife. And so that's going to mean something in just a few moments. But I know one thing for sure. She was struggling. She was really wanting a child. And at the same time, there was a child promised. And so Isaac, he entreated the Lord for his wife. He's seen her struggling, wanting this child. He knew that God had promised. That promise is wrapped up in the Abrahamic covenant. And so we see that these things are transpiring. And now there is an entreating of the Lord on the behalf of his wife. There's something to this, though. Notice, if you will, and back up to verse number 20. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. So when they got married, he was 40. Now, look down in verse number 26. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And listen to this. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So he was 60. 60. And so you say, what are you getting at, Brother Justin? Well, there was a space of time. There was, well, from 40 to 60. 20 years. 20 years had passed by, and then the child came. And let me get a little more specific with the numbers here. So if she carried the child for 9 months, that would mean at some point when Isaac was 59, God blessed them with a child. And so my thinking is, why did it take 19 years and some change for God to answer this prayer or for God to bring about this child? Why did it take so long? I mean, during the space of time from when they first got married to the birth of their children, why didn't God just allow the babe to be born, the promised child, earlier in their marriage? Why did it take 19 years and some change? Well, I kind of think of it this way, that all of those years led not only Rebekah to a place of desperation, but it led Isaac to a place of desperation. And also I was thinking, maybe Isaac felt entitled to this blessing. Well, God's going to bless me, and He's going to allow me to, through my seed, carry on the seed by which one day Jesus would come, bless all the nations of the earth. And, I'm entitled to this blessing. I think it's funny that it took 19 years, right at 20 years, for Isaac to entreat the Lord, to ask God, where's this child? And so no doubt we see in this that his wife was bothered, and the promise of this child was lingering, and no child was here yet. So it drove him to a place of desperation. And I want to say tonight that God has things in our life. He wants to bless us. God wants to show us his purposes and his plans. And I think sometimes we just nonchalantly say, well, God, he's good anyway. God's going to bless me anyway. No matter what I do, no matter where I go, I'm a child of God. God's going to bless. Well, the goodness of God reigns on the just and the unjust. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, the Bible says. God's going to be good regardless. But here's the thing. I feel like that it wrapped up in these verses, that because of Isaac maybe feeling this entitlement, his father being Abraham, oh, I'm going to be the one, Rebekah's going to be the one, that along with the wife's heart, Rebekah, he says, and then Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife in verse 21. And so it was a lot taking place. And Isaac got desperate. What is it in your life tonight that you're desperate for? Or are you desperate for anything when it comes to spiritual things? What areas of your life tonight that you would like to see God move and work in? He says in his word that he would always provide for us. He will always take care of us. He says he has a purpose. He says he has a plan. But I just wonder sometimes how desperate we are to see the fulfillment of that purpose and plan. And so, number one, tonight we see Isaac's interceding. James chapter number 4 and verse 2 says, ye have not because ye ask not. Maybe the reason why they didn't have that child is because they weren't necessarily begging God and asking God, we want what you want. You see, this child was a spiritual matter. It was a spiritual thing. To have this child was spiritual. To have this child was God's will. And so I really feel like tonight that God had this child in wait. But God wanted Isaac to want it. God wanted Rebekah to want it. And for some reason or the other, it took 19 years and some change to really call on God for what God had for them. So tonight, let us all just be passionate about God's will. Let all of us want what God wants. Let us not ever feel that we're entitled and have this arrogant attitude or mindset. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, the cream of the crop, as they say. But at the end of the day, there's times where we might feel like, well, God's going to give me what he wants to give me anyway, so I'm not even going to try. We see tonight that Isaac was interceding. I read one commentary today, one commentator, and he said, in speculation, I wonder if Isaac grabbed the hand of his wife Rebecca and walked over to Mount Moriah, where he was actually laid down for a sacrifice. And he remembered how that he was laid down for a sacrifice and how that his father obeyed God. And at the last second, God came through and provided a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And maybe Isaac was saying, God has promised that he's going to bless us. I know you're troubled. I'm troubled. But let's right here, right now, at this place where God has provided, just pray that God will answer this prayer. And he did. And, of course, that's just speculation about holding hands on Mount Moriah, of course. But we see Isaac here interceding. Again, we're talking about Rebekah's childbearing experience. Now, number two, not only Isaac's interceding, but in verse number 22, let's look at Rebekah's pleading. Verse number 22, the Bible says, "And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord." Rebekah's pleading. She inquired of the Lord. Why did she inquire of the Lord here? Well, because Rebekah had a painful pregnancy. She had a painful pregnancy. Notice the word struggled. Struggled. Struggled, struggled in verse 22. That word struggled literally means to crack into pieces. It means to bruise or crush. And so she says in our verse 22, "And the children struggled," or cracked her into pieces, bruised her, crushed her within her. And she said, because of her struggle, because of the pain, she says, "If it be so, Lord, and if I'm pregnant with this promise you're going to give me, Lord, if this is a blessing that's in my belly, why is it so painful? Why do I feel like I've been cracked into pieces?" Well, let me just say, because of her pain, she pleaded, asking God why. So she says, "God, you promised a child and you answered our prayer. Why is it so painful?" Let me say this tonight. Many times, suffering is indeed a part of God's plan. Pain somewhere in the process will happen. There's some kind of pain when it comes to God's perfect will. You don't have to turn there, but the book of Acts, chapter number 9, verse 16, Jesus was speaking to Ananias. Ananias was afraid of Paul. Paul got saved, and God said, "Ananias, I want you to go lay hands on Paul." He said, "Do what?" And so in that conversation, Jesus told him in Acts 9:16, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Tonight, the truth of the matter is, many Christians bail out on God's perfect will when it gets painful. When things start when there starts to be a struggle on the inside, there's some sacrifice required, there's some yielding to Jesus and His Holy Spirit required, and there's a struggle of the spirit and the flesh, there's a little bit of pain involved, God's not answering as fast as you'd like for Him to answer. You want Him to say yes and now, but He's saying, not right now, maybe later. There's a struggle within that when you're living for the Lord and you want to see His best and you want to see His will unravel before you so you can walk in it. But the truth of the matter is, tonight, struggling is part of the Christian life. Sometimes pain is involved. And Rebekah says again in verse 22, "And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire the Lord." Now, I want you to notice there's a blessing here in verse 22. Rebecca don't know this, but God knew it. Notice, if you would, the word children. And the children struggled together within her. She was thinking only one was coming. She had no idea what she was feeling. All that pain, all of that intense agony, all the cramps. I mean, I've never had a baby. I'm a man. I don't know. You women who have children know what it's like to struggle in pregnancy and feel those pains, those contractions. But she would struggle and she was wondering, what's going on in my life? The pain is so deep. Why in the world, Lord, is this taking place? If I am truly, truly getting ready to give birth to a promise you promised, why is it so painful? Well, again, the word children here is in the plural form. She only thought there was one, but there was two. So that tells me the reason for her pain is because there was a double blessing coming. Sometimes in life, we don't know why we feel what we feel. Problems happen even in our families. Problems happen and things happen. And even in our churches sometimes and with our own individual lives, we experience things that we think are not fair. Sometimes we experience setback, and sometimes it's broken dreams and things like that. But we know that we're, with all of our heart, mind, and soul, we're following Jesus the best we can, and yet all these things are happening. Could it be there's a double blessing coming? Could it be the reason for all that pain? Like Rebecca, she thought there was only one in the womb, but there was two. She had no idea. We got some friends of ours we used to go to Floyd Road with, Michael and Noelle Maynard. They got married, at least 10, 15 years ago. And she wanted to have kids. He wanted to have kids. They couldn't have kids. And, I mean, it was to the point where both of them were getting depressed and discouraged. And so at the right time, she was pregnant, and there wasn't just one in the womb. There was two in the womb. And I'm sure you've heard similar stories. But that's just a double blessing. And looking again, we're looking at Rebecca's childbearing experience. It had to do with her pleading to God on her own behalf. God, I'm in pain. I wonder tonight if there's anybody here that's experiencing any kind of pain in your life. Not so much physical pain as mental pain or spiritual pain or emotional pain. Sometimes emotional pain is worse than physical pain. You have to ask yourself, do I know Jesus as my Savior, number one, because that will dictate everything. But second to that, have I been following Him with my whole heart? And if you know Him as your personal Savior, and you have been, you're not perfect, nobody's perfect, I'm not perfect, but we have been following Him with our whole heart, and trouble still comes, He has a purpose for that pain somewhere. There is a reason for the struggle. And so we see Rebecca's pleading tonight. And then I want to mention one more thing. Not only Rebecca's pleading, Isaac's interceding, but then we see God's leading. Verse number 23. Again, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. I label this last point God's leading for a reason, because He shows her the bigger picture. You see, God had a bigger picture for her. But at the time, she felt cramps. And maybe in her mind, this was, you know, something was wrong. And this is just, I mean, the pain is real. But compared to, I don't know, getting stabbed or shot, ain't nothing comparable. Just cramps. But these cramps, when the Lord spoke to her and told her and showed her the bigger picture, these cramps was actually the beginning of something real big. All of the pain and all the anguish, actually, when she gave birth, there were two. Two nations shall be in thy womb. The Edomites from Esau, the Israelites from Jacob. And you know how big that is even today. The following, and especially back in Bible days, how all that started with the Edomites and the Israelites. And we'll even go back to the very beginning, how that Esau was a man who hunted. And he had the pottage, and Jacob wanted it, sell me your birthright, and all that kind of stuff happened. All those bitter feelings were in their relationship, and it all unraveled, and there was two types of people, two nations came out of her womb. So I said that to say this. She asked God what was going on. She says, God, I feel pain in my stomach. I know you said that you're going to bless us with a child, but this is crazy feeling right here, crazy feelings. She called on God. God said, verse 23, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. God was showing her the bigger picture. And really, the meaning of the message tonight is this. We all are going to feel pain in life. I'm sure if you were to let me know some of your struggles in life, things you've been through, there's sure enough some pain in there. I'm going to go through pain. I've been through pain. We all will go through pain in this life. But you know, with the Lord, there's a bigger picture. She was complaining of her cramps, but yet God had two nations coming forth. But not only two nations were in her womb, the Bible says, but two manner of people. Notice what he says again in verse 23. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. That's the bigger picture. And two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. So there were two nations. This has to do with the bigger picture. But then there were two manner of people in her womb. Has to do with differences. Differences. You say, what do you mean? Well, Esau, the Bible says he was... Where is it? Verse 25, and the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. So Esau, just off the bat, he came out, he was a hairy man. And then he was a hunter, the Bible says. He was a hunter, verse 27, a cunning hunter. Jacob was a plain man, and we know also that in the portfolio of Jacob, he was a rascal to begin with. He was trying to get after that blessing. In fact, the Bible says that, where is it at? Verse 26, that his hand took hold on Esau's heel as he's coming out of the womb. He was grabbing onto his heel. And this would explain Jacob's life, a life of a trickster, a life of someone always trying to get over on someone. Trying to steal, always thinking about themselves. And we know later on in life that Jacob, he wrestled with the angel of the Lord till daybreak, and that angel touched his thigh. He had a limp forever because of that wrestle. But that's what Jacob was, a selfish trickster. Then we have again Esau, the hairy hunter, or the good son. In the hearts and lives, again, of every Christian, there are two manner of people. There's the trickster, and then there's the other. There's the spiritual man. And we can liken these two manner of people, again, as we did Isaac and Isaac and Ishmael. We can liken these two in the same way, really. So there's two manner of people she had in her. That's why she had the warfare. That's why she had the struggle. And tonight we have two manner of people in us as well. We have the spiritual man, the flesh man. There's the struggle, there's the warfare. But also there's a bigger picture with us is that this isn't it. We got a life to come. God is grooming us for a place called heaven. And we go through things down here and we get beat up, we get tried. God is always trying to strengthen our faith and connect us to Him on a deeper level. And so there's a bigger picture. Tonight, no matter what we go through, what you may face tomorrow, there may be some bad news you'll get tomorrow. There may be some setbacks this week of some kind. You may be lied upon, or somebody may do you wrong even. Just know that if you're a child of God, somewhere in that pain, God is working it together for good, for a much bigger picture. Well, tonight, that's the lesson. Rebecca's childbearing experience. And just wanted to mention those things. I hope it was a help and a blessing. Father, we love you. We thank you tonight, God. I pray that you would just apply the lesson to every heart. We did our best, Lord, to make sense out of it and not over-spiritualize anything. But, Lord, I just feel like those things were right there on the surface. And we could certainly glean from those things concerning our own Christian lives. We know that the whole Bible is for us, Old Testament and New Testament, and it's for our edification. And so, Lord, tonight I pray that we would, as we go to bed and lay our heads down on our pillows, Lord, that we would just chew on and meditate and think about what we've heard tonight. And, Lord, let us be ready for Sunday. Prepare our hearts now for the Lord's day. And we pray that you'll do mighty things even then. We love you and we thank you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Anything to mention before we totally conclude? All right. You've been great. Class is dismissed. Like I like to say.